Welcome to our Advent series. You may notice that there are some new banners up there. And what we're going to do as a staff is we're going to go through this Advent season in kind of a Christmas banner series, if you want. And we'll be talking about some of these banners, or actually all of the banners, as we go through this. And it is every year during this Christmas season, this Advent season, that each one of us must decide for ourselves what the reason for the season means to us. For some, it is selfishly driven, and it's not a time of goodwill toward men at all. Others become trapped as they merely try to get with the program. You know, this program of gift buying, and they buy gifts for people that they seldom have much to do with, and trying to hand out well wishes that many times do not live past this Christmas season. Many others, they try to keep their eyes focused on Christ. You know, keep Christ in Christmas. But they not only want that this time of the year, Christmas time, but they're hopeful that this Advent experience, this Christmas experience, defines their living for the rest of the year and it through 2015, the coming year. Now, the Bible, it gives us some valuable principles that help us to never lose sight of the reason for the season. The first step in this awareness and this development is to understand the reason for the season and to understand that Jesus, the first banner's up here, Jesus is the reason for the season. And for this first reason for the season, we need to travel back in time to the days of old, the days of the prophets. More specifically, Isaiah. In chapter 7, Isaiah is giving the sign of a Messiah. And in verse 14, he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Among his details, Isaiah gives an indication that Mary would call him Emmanuel, which the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 1, verse 23 says it means God with us. The other verse that I have is in Luke chapter 5, verse 32. And Jesus, he has grown up and he's beginning his ministry. And the Pharisees come up to him and they want to know why he associates and why he eats and he drinks with tax collectors and with sinners. And responds in verse 32, and he says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now the message, the paraphrase, it puts it this way. I am here inviting outsiders, not insiders, an invitation to a changed life, changed inside and out. Renowned author and pastor Max Lucado, many of you know he's one of my favorite authors. He kind of teases this theology of God with us in his book called He Chose the Nails. Lucado invites us to browse through the racks of religious options and these sweet deals that are clamoring for us to sell out to whatever it is that they're offering. Among the options is this quality product called Jesus. Jesus, who alone gives us an invitation to a changed life, changed inside and out. You want to see the brightest jewel and the treasure of incarnation? When God entered time and became a man, he who was boundless became bound, imprisoned in flesh, restricted by weary, prone muscles and eyelids. For more than three decades, his once limitless reach was limited to the stretch of an arm. His speed checked by the pace of human feet. See, our focus as we try to capture the reason for the season definitely includes the person and the presence of God in the world. Without him, there is only good works for the sake of works. Those works that can somehow help us find some sanity in the lunacy of this season where there's the rush and the rumble of Christmas. Without him, the central message of peace on earth is overshadowed with anxiety and debt. Without Christ as the core of Christmas, the reality is it is nothing more than just another day off work or out of school. Maybe like Labor Day or 4th of July or something like that. The challenge is that we not lose sight of the spirit-stirring and the history-shaping dynamic of the message, God with us. One source asks the question, can you imagine becoming an ant? You would have to lay aside many of your assets of being a human being, you know, such as your human body, your strength, your talents, maybe your thumbs. You would have to live under the limitations of an ant. Now, this illustration, it only gives us the tiniest glimpse of an understanding of what it meant for God to become one of us. Because you see, by becoming only one of us, becoming like us, that God could be God with us. Now, the second reason that helps to keep us focused during this Christmas time is that you are the reason for this season. No, I'm not messing with your head here. I know we just said that He, Jesus Christ, is the reason for the season, and that's true. But the reason it is all about Him is because it is all about you. See, it's a message not only about us, but what God wants for us. Let's go back to Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. See, the first time we were talking about this, the inflection, my voice, God with us. But this time it changes. Now it is God with us. I've sometimes heard the expression, stay with me. Maybe you've heard it before. Often it's an expression by someone who is lonely, in fear, or experiencing crisis or pain. Back recently, years ago, after I had just recently graduated from high school and I was working, some of you will know my friend Percy from up in Washington. He had a hernia and he had to have an operation. And so he went in that morning and his mom went with him to the hospital and he had the surgery and everything went well. As soon as I got off work, somewhere around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I rushed to the hospital just to see him. And he was there, and if you've ever been through surgery, you know that sometimes you're awake, sometimes you're asleep, you're kind of in and out of it. And he was in that state, and I told his mom, Mrs. Espinosa, her name is Gloria, I said, Mrs. Espinosa, if you want to go home, you can. She'd been there all day long, and she needed to get some rest. I said, I'll stay with him. And Percy, in one of those kind of awake moments, said, would you stay with me? For reasons I won't go into, Percy does not like hospitals. He was scared of hospitals, and he just wanted to know that someone was going to be there with him. And so through the night, I sat there with him until 9 or 10. I don't know how late it was. And he was fast asleep. And many times I'd be there, I'd be talking with him, and he'd be sound asleep. And he even said that. He said, I may not know you're here, and I may be asleep, but would you stay with me? I've also heard it as a deep expression of pleasure that one gets from a meaningful relationship, being able to spend time with a friend. And you don't want that time to end. Yet there comes a point when the staying ends. When our human limitations prevent us from being present indefinitely. God with us is a never-ending proposition. He desires that. Because He enjoys, get this, He enjoys your company. Mark Buchanan, the author of The Rest of God, Restoring Our Souls by Restoring Sabbath, he asks, how aware have you been right now that Jesus is with you? He then challenges us to greet Jesus, preferably out loud, but at least in our hearts. Just imagine if Jesus walked through those glass doors and he came in and he sat down right next to you. How would you greet him? Are you aware that he is here with us right now for this hour and a half that we've been in here worshiping? Jesus has been here with us. Have you been aware of his presence? Be aware of it now. He is here with us. Oh, the things that we do to give gifts to those that we love. There's nothing scarier for a man, men, see if you can relate to this, than walking through the women's department. We skim through the rows of purses, past the pants and the blouses. Women, you got a lot of stuff out there. You know that? There's a lot of things out there. We're almost embarrassed to even touch some of the items because we're not sure of styles or sizes. And then we almost walk through the minefield of ladies' lingerie and underwear. And we catch ourselves just in time and we spot a detour that gets us out of the danger zone. The clerk asks, "Can I help you?" And we respond, "Duh. Do I look like I need help? Please." But you see, we'll go through those awkward experiences because that Christmas gift or that birthday gift or that just because gift is so important for that particular person that we're willing to go through that. That is our soul, our focus at that moment is that person and our love for that person. Well, you see, Jesus, he entered our zone. It's all about us. And to get us this gift in our hearts, Jesus assumed the awkward, the limiting, should we say embarrassing stance of humanity so that he could declare, as is written in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." It's the message of Jesus that's recorded in John chapter 10, verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The message puts it this way: "I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." You see, you, each one of you, are the reason for the season. Now, all of this leads us to a conclusion about Christmas and the purpose of these Advent days that we're going to be going through here. God took steps to be in a relationship with us, each one of us. And being in a relationship with him is the reason for the season. In the sacred romance, drawing closer to the heart of God, Brent Curtis and John Eldridge, they share a wonderful analogy of how we often do not relate to God. Many people perceive God as being a distant deity who created the earth and is somewhere way off out there. But their analogy is that of watching a movie. You see, we relate to the different characters in a movie. We gravitate to those characters that reflect something of our own experiences. But what about the author? Where is the mastermind that wrote the story? We don't see them. We don't hear from them, at least not openly. Now, granted, they may be a character that is sketched into the story somewhere, but it doesn't change the heart of the author, who with skill and precision draws us into this movie and gets us to relate to the story and relate to some of the characters, inspires some hope or some heroism in us. But you see, God wrote the story. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "He is the author and finisher of our faith." But to avoid the threat of merely watching from a distance, God came down. God put himself right in the middle of the story of humanity. He chose to be God with us. And in turn, He invites us outsiders to a changed life, changed inside and out. And He gave us real and eternal life, more and better life than we could ever have dreamed of. Francis Chan, in his book, Crazy Love, he spoke of a time when he had a desire to grow in his love for God. And he decided that he was going to go spend some quiet time in the woods alone with God in this quest. And so a friend of his went and prayed for him. And the friend said, God, I know how you've wanted this time with Francis. Chan wrote of that prayer, though I didn't say anything at the time, I secretly thought it was a heretical way to pray and that he was phrasing it all wrong. See, I was going to the woods because I wanted to spend time with God. But He's God. He certainly couldn't want more of me. It seemed demeaning to think that God could long for a human being. But He does. Now, counselor and author Dr. Gary Chapman, he wrote a New York Times bestseller. Some of you may have heard of it. The Five Love Languages. How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. When it debuted back in 1992, it sold over 5 million copies. He has written variations since then. One of them was a variation on teens' love languages. The five love languages are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. What amazes me is thinking of Bible passages that show us how God is the perfect lover. He demonstrates all five of these in His desire for me. God faithfully expresses the five love languages to us. Expressing His heartfelt commitment to us. And all He wants in return is that we be as excited in commitment to a relationship with Him. You see, the reason for the season is that God and I would be committed to each other. He is the reason for the season so that I could be the reason for the season. Simply awesome. Did you catch that? He is the reason for the season so that I could be the reason for the season. Listen to the statement of love. Christmas was God's plan to bridge the gap between Him and me. He didn't have to. He chose to. He wanted to. He took the measure necessary to restore our love and our relationship. He never merely said, I love you. He proved it when He put on skin and bones and then nailed it to a cross. God passionately loves me. And God is committed to His love for me. How different our world would be if the spirit of Christmas lived 365 days a year. Maybe as we try to live this message, other people will catch the spirit. And then they will discover the reason for the season. And they can come into this relationship with God. So as you go into this Advent season, this next month, when Christmas begins to overwhelm you, take a time out. Sit quietly to be reminded of the reason for the season.